With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, he's joining us every single Monday here on the show. Honored and privileged to have him every week here on the show. He's the great Jason Fitz, does it all for ESPN. Catch him on Spain and Fitz. He's all over ESPN. He joins us now. Fitz, big news over the weekend. You are going to get the Memphis Grizzlies underneath the mistletoe on Christmas Day. How about that?
Yeah, you know, and let me be real, like, the minute I saw that, my heart just, like, fluttered a little bit for y'all and for Memphis and for what it means. Like, you know, on those ESPN sports radio sports bites that I do, I was pretty harsh today that people hear later on tonight on the NBA on Christmas Day because of what the NFL is doing. But realistically, the NBA picks the brands that they either want to elevate or that have elevated to the point that they're undeniable when it comes to the Christmas Day game. So, when we talked at the very beginning of the rise of Ja about what it was going to mean for the future of the franchise, this is it. Like, you start looking at what that means the NBA expects of this team, what that means the NBA expects of this brand. It means, because, I mean, Christmas Day is their launching pad, and they're willing to say, hey, we want to launch with this team against Golden State. Like, they are creating, helping to cultivate, I guess, a rivalry that is going to be very real this year that they want to be real for the next several years.
Are you surprised not to see the Nets on this list of teams playing on Christmas, or should we expect that with all the mess and the turmoil that they've got going on?
I think that speaks to the league's lack of confidence that the Nets are going to look anything by Christmas like what they look today, yeah. You know, and so they don't want to take a chance that they're putting a suddenly Kevin Durant-less Nets up on there, you know, and Kyrie-less Nets up on Christmas Day. Plus, I mean, at some point, I do believe that the NBA wants the conversation to be about the actual action on the court, and the Nets always bring extra chaos with them. So whereas you can do that with the Lakers, they're worth the brand. I mean, I think for the Nets, it's not worth the squeeze. The juice isn't worth the squeeze on that. As opposed to the Knicks, who frankly, I don't think are going to be very good, but they just want to get that New York market on Christmas Day. I understand that.
Talking to Jason Fitz, joining us every single Monday here on the show. I know it's like, it's crazy. Like, we're football starting up and we're going to get to that. But, you know, with the news, you know, about the Grizzlies, what do you sort of think the future holds for them next year? Jaren may or may not be available to start the year. We know how much of an impact he made. You know, it's hard to take a step from 2 to 1. I don't think anybody really anticipates that. But what do you think the season looks like for the Grizzlies?
I think the regular season looks a little more frustrating than you're used to because, to your point, now this team has learned through the playoff run what they need. And so once we see that, what we see during the regular season, the next step, everybody thinks the next step is regular season dominance. That's what the Suns tried. I think the next step is regular season conservation with an understanding that what you need is the playoffs. So, you know, we look at what Milwaukee did last year. Now, obviously, it didn't result in a title, but we saw Milwaukee sort of throttle back a bunch. If I'm Memphis this year, my main concern is making sure everybody's growing and getting better. But at the same time, I'll take periods in the regular season where everybody's throttled back if it means I'm who I need to be in the playoffs. I mean, the Grizzlies to me right now, if I was projecting in crystal ball, they're a top 4 seed in the West. And at the same time, I think they have every real shot at an NBA championship next year. And that's wild, but that's where the new world is. Like, the new world is make sure that you get yourself in a decent playoff seeding position, but don't worry about winning 70 games. Worry about getting into the playoffs as healthy as possible.
Yeah. What did you think? We got a chance to see the Titans, obviously, on last Thursday, our first chance to talk to you since. What did you think of what you saw? Forget the game. Obviously, the Ravens win. It's amazing, by the way, what the Ravens do in the preseason. Set that to the side. We got a chance to see Malik Willis. What did you think of the third rounder the Titans took? What'd you like?
What I like is that Malik Willis is athletic. What I don't like is that Malik Willis is athletic. Like, there's this spot here where what we saw is exactly what we expected. But I got to remind everybody, and this goes across the board for every young quarterback. When you see a young quarterback in a preseason game run around and then make a spectacular play, it's such a great highlight. But that's not real for the regular season, especially at the quarterback position. Like, you've got to see a quarterback drop back, go through his reads, make the correct throw. And I think Vrabel was pretty telling when he said we took him out of the game because he wouldn't throw the football. Like, right. There's never been a question that Malik Willis can run around on the field and make tremendous plays. The question is, can he learn this playbook and then dissect what a defense is doing? And so far, I think, you know, Titans fans are really in love with what they saw in that game. I'm not. I want to see Malik Willis get back there and make timing throws and get back there and understand where guys are going to be. I didn't see any of that, guys. So I think what we learned is that Malik Willis is a freak athlete, but we already knew that. What we don't know is how's this game going to transfer to the NFL, and I think that's going to take 2 years for us to have any idea of. So I need to see a lot more from Malik throwing on schedule before I freak out about it. Plus, the other thing real quick, guys, that I think we forget is most of the time Malik Willis is running around against a guy that may or may not be on the roster more often than not, you know, in these preseason games. So, like, that's just so different than having to figure out what a defense is doing pre-snap, what adjustments they're making, and how they're getting in your throwing lanes.
I read, too, that from your over-unders, that it sounds like you're not very high on the overall offense, and especially Derrick Henry. Obviously, since the A.J. Brown trade, does seem like that's going to make life inevitably tougher on Derrick Henry. Sort of where do you think that offense is going to come in this year?
I think it's the middle-of-the-pack offense because the offensive line has a lot of questions. And frankly, like, we just glossed over Taylor Lewan, the superstar, because he's a superstar personality. But, man, he's getting paid too much to not be on the field and consistently and play his tail off consistently. I don't know that he can still do that with all the injuries he's battled. I think the questions all the way across the offensive line. And I've had this debate with, you know, Buck Rising and Jared Stillman and my buddies in Nashville that cover the team. Like, I don't think you can get rid of an A.J. Brown and then suddenly feel great about your wide receiver core. There's just a lot of unproven there. And when there's a lot of unproven there, it's hard for me to look around and say, oh, this guy's going to be the guy. It's just harder for me to see. So I think they made Tannehill's job more difficult. That's going to mean even more pressure on Henry, who's going to be running against even fuller stacked boxes behind an offensive line that's okay. Like, the Titans are going to take a step back to me this year. Their defense is going to have to play lights out for them to be the top team in the division.
While we're on the subject of, you know, potential – you know, quarterback changes. Kenny Pickett was probably the story of the weekend at that position. 2 touchdowns and a win over the Seahawks in preseason. You know, I think it's sort of the same thing, right? Sort of the same situation. He's going against third and fourth string guys that may not be on the roster, but he looked good. Do you think that's a situation where, you know, the drafted rookie actually is playing meaningful football, you know, midway through the season?
Yeah, I think the difference is that in Pittsburgh, they don't really have a clear-cut starter they love, and they want to give Pickett every opportunity to win that job and that opportunity in a way that makes a lot of sense for him. There's some, you know, comfort either thrives or kills in my mind. And the fact that he's played in the same stadium he played in college, and his practice facility, the Pitt practice facility is literally at the same compound that the Steelers practice facility is. Like, nothing in Kenny Pickett's world has changed. And not for everybody, like, some people that's really problematic. Like, you need to get away, you need to get a fresh start. For Kenny Pickett, it seems to be really opportunistic. Like, he seems really comfortable. So, you know, number one, I think the Steelers are going to do everything they can to, you know, spoon feed the offense to him in a way where he can be effective. That's going to be important. But number two, they don't have to build an offense around one guy with another guy coming in. Like, Malik Willis is so different in the way he approaches things than Ryan Tannehill is. And Ryan Tannehill is with the Super Bowl contending team and a quarterback that has a body of work. Like, the Steelers never have a losing season, but they don't have a quarterback on that roster. So they don't have to tailor it to one guy and hope another guy can fit in. I think Kenny Pickett, while I wasn't high, as you know, on any of the quarterbacks in the draft, Kenny Pickett goes into a good situation because he's got a really good coaching staff that's not going to put him in a situation where he looks like an idiot. So I believe more in Kenny Pickett in that situation.
So Cowboys lose 17-7 to the Broncos. It wasn't really the story, but the penalties were. 17 penalties for 129 yards in their first preseason game this year. Mike McCarthy, last 2 years, coached Dallas teams, been the most penalized team in the league. Should we be looking at this as Mike McCarthy's going to blow this and be out of there after this year, and maybe you're looking at Sean Payton next year? What do you think of chances that Mike McCarthy has a good year and is back for, what, a fourth year?
I think the chances are pretty slim because good won't cut it. Like, it's going to have to be great. The Sean Payton thing's going to get hairy because the Saints are certainly going to want compensation. But here's the thing, like, discipline is cultural, and I genuinely believe that. I believe that you can make excuses every year for why your team has a ton of penalties, but at some point, discipline is cultural. And, you know, we see this all the time if you're Raiders fans, right? Like, if you're a Raiders fan and you've seen year after year after year a ton of penalties, when you see penalties in the preseason, you just say, oh, my God, here we go again. Well, part of that is because it just carries over into the culture. Mike McCarthy has not created a disciplined culture when it comes to pre-snap, when it comes to technique, like holding penalties in the preseason more often than not, for example, or not because somebody forgets how to play football. It's because they're in a bad spot, so they hold so they don't put a sack on tape. You know, that's where they hold so they don't put a huge touchdown on tape. But that speaks to poor technique, poor discipline, poor fundamentals, and those are things that right now you can't convince me that McCarthy is making the Cowboys better fundamentally. And you can, frankly, convince me that today Josh McDaniels is making the Raiders better fundamentally, for example. So, you know, I think you've got to look at these penalties and say, does it matter in the preseason? Maybe not. Does it speak to the culture of discipline and the culture of technique? Maybe. And if that's the issue, Mike McCarthy is never going to make talent better. And if he can't make this talent better, they don't win Super Bowls. If he doesn't get to the Super Bowl, then there's no reason for Jerry Jones to keep him around.
You know, a lot of people are sort of in the inverse of that, saying that Doug Peterson's arrival is going to unlock Trevor Lawrence into being the quarterback that everybody thought he was going to be 2-3 years ago when teams were tanking, you know, 2-3 years out to get him. And look, we've only seen him just a bit. Got a couple drives on Friday, 6 of 12, 95 yards and a touchdown. Is he going to break out this year, Fitz?
I want to think so, but I'll also say this, like, second year, second offense, much more discipline. And what did we learn last year at Clemson? Like, sometimes you got to look at the place that he left behind, right? What we learned last year at Clemson is that maybe the offensive principles aren't all that great. Like, DJ Uiagalelei certainly couldn't do anything near what was done for him, you know, what was done for Clemson that Trevor Lawrence did. So I think you've got to look a little bit at what was left behind and start asking yourself, man, has Trevor Lawrence gotten the best offensive coaching? And if not, is it going to take a minute? I believe in the player tremendously, but learning a new playbook is like learning a new language. And not everybody does that quickly. Not everybody does it efficiently. And not every coaching staff is willing to translate it so the quarterback can be successful. So I think there's a lot of question marks on the structure around Trevor Lawrence. If they calm that structure down, he has every opportunity to be a superstar. But if they don't, then he's just going to be sort of a middling, mid-level quarterback, which is a waste of tremendous talent.
Where are you at on Trey Lance, Fitzy, and coming on to a 49ers team, or at least taking over, that's built and ready to win? We just saw it in the NFC Championship game last year. What do you make of that 49ers team? Do they take a step back, or is Lance ready? We saw a little bit of action from him. Again, it's preseason. You don't want to overreact. How high is your confidence level in Niners?
It's okay, but it's not as high as it would be. And part of that is because of their division. Like, I mean, the Rams are spectacular, right? And the Cardinals certainly have a lot of talent. I do believe that. And it's hard for me, even though the Seahawks have nobody at quarterback, to think that the Seahawks are suddenly going to forget how to football. So it's not like he's going to have a easy road ahead. Plus, the NFC West drew the AFC West this year. So they're going to have all of those teams to factor into, too. That's asking a lot from, you know, a first-year player at quarterback that hasn't played meaningful football in years. I mean, that's the part of this that, like, we're just sort of glossing over that he played one game. And I keep going back to when I was out with Game Day the year we went to North Coast State, South Coast. And we went to that game, and we were all trying to figure out, because it's a really tough stadium to get to, we were trying to figure out flights. And he was playing. And not a single person on that campus or around Game Day or anywhere around me said, oh, my God, you have to stick around for this game because Trey Lance is going to be a superstar in the NFL. Like, nobody saw that coming. So it's hard for me to take, just like it is for Zach Wilson, it's hard to take a jump from BYU to the Jets. I still think we're sort of sleeping on how difficult the jump is going to be. If I'm the 49ers, I'm keeping Jimmy G in that building no matter what, simply because even though it cost me a ton of money, man, if this Trey Lance thing goes wrong, I don't want to lose out on a window where I have a Super Bowl caliber roster just because my quarterback had too many growing pains.
The Browns defiantly threw Deshaun Watson out there, and that was horrible. I mean, that was some of the worst Deshaun Watson probably has ever played. I guess you attribute it to rust. What did you think of that, and do you anticipate, on top of that, seeing him at all this season?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's out for the season. And I think, frankly, the Browns' actions in that preseason game didn't help anybody. Like, you've got that moment. We all know this. Like, you've got that moment where if you're in a relationship, like, you know your significant other is mad, and, like, you know you can do something, but if you do it, you might be poking the belly of the beast. And sometimes, even though it's tough, you've just got to walk away from the situation and not do it. That's the situation I think the Browns were in. They could have saved a lot of sort of grief, but by putting him on the field, that was a big up yours to the NFL. Like, we're going to play him as long as we're allowed to play him. You got a Roger Goodell that is bent in on the fact that it's going to be at least a one-year suspension, and then we're going to have to ask some real questions, because it will, if he's suspended the whole year and he missed all of last year and we just saw how rusty he looked, man, I don't know what we should reasonably expect from Deshaun Watson whenever he does get back. Like, I believe that if you take everything, take all the off-the-field stuff out of the equation, he's a top-five quarterback in the NFL. He was a top-five quarterback in the NFL, but his last season, they went 4-12, and then he sits out a whole season, and now he's going to have to, like, in my mind, sit out another season. I don't know if the Browns can really know what they're going to have at quarterback, because it's going to take a more than a minute or two to knock the rust off if and when he comes back next year.
And then, you know, Lamar Jackson, who, if you just sort of break down what he's done since he took over in 2018, he's fourth in victories, he's 11th in touchdown passes, he's first in rushing yards by a quarterback, yet my brother still does not have a new contract, and he says he will stop negotiating once the regular season starts. We're less than a month away. This seems like one of the worst potentially decisions that you can make. How do you go into this season without having a deal done?
Yeah, but here's the thing. A year ago, we all said, man, Lamar better do that deal. And now we look at the contracts that have come out. I understand everybody's talking about the risk Lamar Jackson is taking of injury. I really genuinely do. But this is the first year he's going to get his, whatever, guaranteed massive money, right? So he's making generational, life-changing, I never have to work again money this year. So if I'm Lamar, and I haven't seen the deal I like, and I know that I've seen all of these other quarterback contracts just blow up in the last, you know, from Deshaun all the way through. Like, we've seen so many quarterback contracts go out with huge money. And I know that by this time next year, Joe Burrow will have gotten paid too. And God only knows what's a guy that leads the Bengals to the Super Bowl worth. My God, as much as we're talking about the money Lamar may be leaving on the table, I think what we're forgetting is how much extra money Lamar has made himself by banking on himself. If the Ravens don't want to give him a historic contract right now, he'll get a historic contract in a year, because the money just keeps going up and up and up. And injury is the only thing that could slow that down. But I ask you guys, if you already had I never have to work money again in the bank, and you knew that no matter what, you were set for life, and now somebody said you have a choice, you can make $200 million right now, or you can make $300 million in a year. I mean, if money's no object and you already don't have to work ever again, maybe it's worth betting on yourself just to get the extra cash. I think Lamar is actually doing this a lot smarter than a lot of us are giving him credit for.
Maybe so, man. Maybe you're right. Maybe we look back and we say this guy's a genius and he doesn't even have to give, you know, a stupid agent 4%.
Yeah. I mean, 4% of that much money. And remember how often we looked at Kirk Cousins when he was like, I'm going to play this out year by year. We're like, you're crazy. And all he does every year is get paid and paid and paid. So, like, some of these guys got to figure it out.
No doubt. Hey, Fitz, you got to figure it out, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Have a great week.
Every single week, man. Thank you.
Have a great week, boys. Appreciate you.
Yep, he is. Jason Fitz joins us every single Monday here on the show. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that he's got life-changing money in the bank. You know, he's going to make $23 million this year, Jason. But I imagine, like, again, we always have these conversations. When you make $23 million a year, you more than likely live a $23 million a year lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's not like, oh, I mean, it's not like you or us, you know, if you were me, you know, fall into $23 million, yeah, like we're set because we don't live $23 million a year lifestyles, you know? So it's the calculations are just different.
So listening to Chris Canty on this, you think about it's the other side of it that I think Lamar's banking on too, is that remember when Dak Prescott did this, we all said, what are you doing? He injures his ankle. He still gets paid by the Cowboys because, of course, the Cowboys weren't going to move off. I think that's the way Lamar is looking at the basement, John. You know what I'm saying? In terms of even if I went out, get hurt in a contract year, they're going to pay me because everything's built around it. It's still a huge risk. There's no promise that what Jerry Jones did in the Dak situation, Baltimore's going to do for you or as handsomely in terms of paying you. It's still a huge risk. But I think his deal is, look, we just saw Kyler Murray get signed. That sets a baseline for when I want to be over. You see, Deshaun's guaranteed money. So to Fitz's point, the waiting has earned him more money, but you want to see him get paid before you know any kind of risk, anything. You don't want to see him lose money. And you go into this year, you get hurt, then they can cut back a little bit on you. So, look, Dak Prescott still got his money. That's the point. So, and maybe, you know, in Lamar's case, it won't be a deal where you get hurt and you have to find out. Yeah. You know, hopefully for him, that's the case.
I like it. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come around the show. Jason and John, Artie Turner, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.